Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship this sixth Sunday after Easter and after Ascension Day, which was on Thursday. And I have pleasure to welcome his servant preacher, Mrs. Maureen Ridley, to conduct this service. May the blessing of the Holy Spirit be upon Maureen and all present, and to all those in our heartfelt thoughts. There's one or two notices. The funeral will take place for Margaret Routledge at the crematorium on this Thursday, the 6th of June, at 2:15. That's 2:15 p.m. And refreshments afterwards at the Benwell Hill Cricket Club. It's also not announced on the notices, but it's the Agape on Wednesday. That's with Tim Woolley. At this time, it's important that there's commemorations for the 75 years since D-Day landings on the 6th of June. During the Second World War, and we give thanks to all those servicemen who sacrificed their lives. We shall now recite together the prayer for today on the notice sheet. It shall be followed, as usual, by a call to worship hymn. Come now is the time to worship. So here's our prayer. Dear Father, quiet our minds, still our hearts, for our living ways are all we ask. Amen. And refreshments will be served following the service. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Yeah.
Today we are going to be thinking about trust and God's protection. Verse 29 of Psalm 118 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Our first hymn is hymn 77. Give thanks to the Lord our God and King. Well, we'll manage that one all right. And now we have our prayers of adoration and thanksgiving and then confession. Let us pray. Let the peace of this moment surround us. As we sit quietly, let the hurry and worry of our lives fall away. We are God's children. He loves us and cares for us. He is here with us now and always. Lord Jesus, thank you for your presence here, for the opportunity to pray. We adore you, Lord. Thank you for life and for the kindness of people around us, for the cross of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to show our gratitude in deeds as well as words. Amen.
Amen.
Now our prayer of confession. Forgiving God, we come to you disturbed, challenged, and sorry about what is wrong in our lives and your world. We come to you to admit our failure, to take responsibility for our selfishness and thoughtlessness, as well as what we allow to happen without registering a murmur of unease or complaint. Remind us once more of the strength of your love. For all your children, which forgives and renews us, give us confidence to learn and grow together, to take our place in the world. Fulfill your purpose in us, your children, and grant us your grace to do your will, now and forever. Amen. Right. Well, it was going to be a children's talk, but there's no children. Oh, I forgot something. Lynn was going to do this talk, but then Lynn's not well, so... So all I'm going to say is about my new little dog, which we've had for a year now. And I'll pass a photograph around. It's not a very good one, but it's a cockapoo. Our Elsa died a year ago, about now. And it was coming up to Father's Day. And we hadn't had a dog for 2 weeks. And it was so quiet and empty, the house. So my daughter decided to look on the internet to see if there was any small dogs. And she came across this cockapoo. So she went to see it. And it turned out it was blind. It had been born blind. But the slits were still there and there was little sort of gooey stuff coming out, you know? Anyway, on Father's Day, it was a surprise. The whole family just called and pretended that they were bringing a big teddy bear for my great-granddaughter, and they just threw it on the floor. And I thought, what's going on? And then they had a big carrier bag, and then out popped the dog, 10 weeks old. And of course, we love it now, but it was quite a bit of work. He's just over a year old now. So that was how we got this dog. But being blind, then we had to get his eyes done at the vet's operation to take the glands and things out. So now he's just got like two marks where his eyes were. And he's a happy little soul, and he knows all his way around the house. Although he can't see, he knows exactly what happens in the day. And he's just there on everything. But this day, I took him out for a walk. And I don't know, you know Silver Lonin? Yeah. In the big, long dean or field, whatever you call it. I go on there with him. Because apparently when they're blind, it's best to do the same walk all the time, so they know. And what happened was, on the way back, from the walk up the path towards Silver Lonin Court, there was this loud bang from a garden. Well, he just ran over to the side onto the field. And of course, I had him. On this extendable lead. And this is what happened, it snapped. So I was panic. And I just shouted, and he eventually stopped. Went over and lifted him up. But it was such a cold and wet day. I had to carry him, literally, in my arms. I know he's only a cockapoo, but he's quite heavy. And I just prayed all the way home. And I thought, if I go across the main road, because the traffic noise, you know, if he jumps out my arms. But he didn't. I got to the other side of the road, sat on the wall for a little while, and then up home. And when I got in the house, the first thing I did was I just burst into tears. I just cried and cried. Because you think what might have happened. But there again, that's where you've got to trust God. Then he'll get you home, safe. And there was another time on the field, not long ago, I took him for a walk. There was a dead pigeon. And of course, he was on a longish lead. I never let him off the lead, because you can't in case, well, you can't see where you are. But his hearing is excellent, too good. Because of these little noisy barks. Anyway, the pigeon he was interested in, so I'm tugging him like this from it. And he had one of these on, a harness. His front legs go in there, then you clip him round. Well, then I had the long lead on there. Well, this just came off over his head. So it was panic again. And my right arm's not very good since I had a broken elbow. So I got a hold of him in this arm. And I had to dismantle to bits with one hand. And I don't know how I did it, really, but I did. There again, I was praying that I could do it because there wasn't another soul around to help. But I did it. And that's where we have to trust that God's there for us. So that's my story. Our next hymn is 628. 628, Faithful One. Well done. Now Nat's going to read Psalm 91.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrows that fly by day. For the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation, says the Lord. Praise be to God. Amen.
Now I'm sure you all know the next hymn, 481, The Lord's My Shepherd. I will read verse 2 because that's what the message is on. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. The theme in this psalm is God's protection in the midst of danger. God doesn't promise a world free from danger, but he does promise his help whenever we face danger. Now, I was given this story on Psalm 91. It's called Psalm 91 Regiment. Among the conflict and terror of the First World War, God's almighty hand can be seen in many ways. Here is just one instance. Colonel Whittlesey commanded a British division for much of the war. He was a committed Christian for much of the war. He was a committed Christian and had faith that God would, in fact, protect and shield him and his men in battle. When he shared his faith with other commanders, they thought him to be overconfident and presumptuous. However, before the war was over, his faith was proven to be no laughing matter. Not a single man in his division was killed throughout all those years in battle. In many battles they fought alongside other regiments, and at times these would be totally decimated with only a small number surviving. However, no bullets ever came near the colonel and his men. How did Colonel Whittlesey inspire such faith in God into his soldiers? Every day he ordered his men to recite Psalm 91 out loud. Every man carried a complete copy of the psalm and either read it or recited it from memory. This psalm speaks of God's protection and helped inspire faith that God would indeed shield them, which God in his goodness did. Throughout the war, This regiment was known far and wide as the Psalm 91 Regiment. If we're walking across a busy road, running for a bus, we might trip over something and break a limb. Or like me at this church a few years ago, hurrying up the steps and falling, rushing to take people safely home in my car. Verse 2 says, "He is my refuge and my fortress." In Ruth 2, it tells us about Ruth meeting Boaz in the fields. In verse 12, he says to her, "The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." The word refuge occurs 36 times in the Old Testament. In Psalm 57, verse 1, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge. Until these calamities had passed by," it beautifully illustrates the verb and refuge, for it pictures David as nestling under God's wings in the same manner that a defenseless but trusting baby bird hides itself under its parents' feathers. In 2 Samuel 22, David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day the Lord had delivered him from the hands of his enemies. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge." We should learn through practice to continually give thanks to the Lord, wherever we are and whatever we are doing, and to acknowledge that all good things come from him, and to give God the glory. Next is "my God." It becomes personal. It's my God. It's your God. It's very personal. He also suggests his personal care, shelter, shadow, refuge, fortress, and strength. And similarly, words express in concrete images what these aspects of God can mean to us. "In him will I trust." Psalm 118, verse 8, is exactly the middle of the Bible. It says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." A fitting centerpiece of the Bible. This is where our confidence and trust comes in. When we go for a bus, a train, or an aeroplane, and trust they are going to be on time. We go to see doctors and nurses and trust their diagnosis is right. John 14, 1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." I'm told abseiling is fun. Somehow I can't imagine myself abseiling. dropping over the edge of some cliff, or building for fun. But I've been fascinated to watch other people do it. It's amazing what trust they have in the one who holds the rope at the top. They trust that person with their life. We all go through experiences which make us feel as though we are going over a cliff of some sort. At these times, it is pretty hard to trust the one above us. Yet the Old Testament is peppered with God's promises to be with his people in every situation. Jesus gave words of encouragement to his disciples. They could trust God, and they could also trust Jesus. Once over the top, the abseilers can no longer see the hands that hold them safely. But they know they have not been abandoned. In one of Charles Wesley's hymns, he wrote, "Give me the childlike praying trust." Lord, we ask you today to help us, hold us, and teach us how to trust in your strength and power. In Genesis 28, Jacob comes across as the Old Testament sly guy we see his equivalent in many modern soaps, deceitful, thieving, and scheming, yet likable with it. A reminder that there's good in the worst of us and bad in the best of us. Into the middle of the Jacob saga fits the story of the prophetic dream. Jacob wakes up to realize he has a spiritual encounter with God. As we read of him, Jacob just couldn't resist trying a quick deal with God. If God would look after him, then he, Jacob, would worship God and even offer God 1/10 of his possessions. It's very tempting to feel superior to Jacob, to look down our noses. But haven't we all at some point in our lives slipped into bargain mode with God? If he will do such and such, then we will promise to do this and the other thing. The more desperate we are, the more eager we are to make commitments. We have to be committed to what we are doing. Now, Jacob was honest enough to admit he'd gone to sleep without giving God a thought. Even so, he awoke with a definite awareness of God's presence. This experience was a turning point for Jacob. From that moment, he began the journey of spiritual discovery, a journey through difficulties and heartache, from self-sufficiency to dependence and trust in God. It's a long journey for each of us, but Jesus waits to help us along the way. Jesus, I will trust you. Only you can make us whole. There's a story of a woman who received a beautiful card which said simply, "Look back with gratitude, look forward with hope, and look upward with confidence." And she placed it in her kitchen where she could see it many times in the day. None of us is immune from crisis of one kind or another. And when we feel overwhelmed by problems or loss, looking back seems to pile on the regrets and tears. We can become so bowed down and stressed that we have no energy left to look forward, let alone to look upward. Yet move forward we do. Life goes on, and in the end, it takes us along too. In our own time, we rejoin the world to find that time has begun the process of healing. It's then at looking back, we realize we can be thankful and praise God for the miracle of memory. But we mustn't just look back craving for what used to be. We must face the future with confidence and trust. Trust in God. Paul's letters were messages of hope, just like the card in the kitchen. Why not try it for yourselves? Take time to look back with gratitude. Look to the future with hope, and you'll find you're able to look upwards with confidence to our loving God. I go back to Psalm 91, verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. God is our shelter, our protector, our refuge. When we are afraid, He carries us through all the dangers in our lives. This should be a picture of our trust in Him. God should be the center in our lives. Trust and faithfulness in God alone. Because He is our rock, our refuge, our strength. He is our God in whom we trust. Amen. Hymn number 489. Knowing You, Jesus. Now our offering will be taken to further God's work in the church. Jesus, we thank You for all these gifts given with Your love, and we hope that they will work well for the church. Thank You, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Now our prayers of intercession. There will be moments of silence to say your own prayers, or you could shout names out. Let us pray. Let us pray for God's family throughout the world, for the leaders of nations, for those with power to hurt or heal, for those who long for justice and peace, especially for Sri Lanka, Gaza, Israel, and all the countries in the world where there's problems, Lord. We pray for where Helen's parents are, that they are all safe and well. We pray for the homeless who have to sleep out in all weathers, for those who struggle to feed their families and have to use food banks. We pray for our families, neighbours and friends. Help us to share our lives in love and commitment for one another. Bless all our relationships. Help us to trust and respect each other. Give us understanding and concern so that we may help each other, build one another up in love, and share all our joys and sorrows, blessings and burdens. We pray for those in special need of our prayers today. We pray for all the people on the prayer list in the church and who have gone down the prayer chain. We remember them all here in Denton Burn. We bring to your healing hands, Lord, those who are ill at home or hospital. Those recently bereaved, those separated from loved ones because of quarrel, hurt, or pride. Those who need reassurance, who need to feel valued or forgiven. Those who fear an uncertain future, our young people going to college or university, young children with problems at school. We thank you, Lord, for the fellowship and love within the family of the church here in Denton Burn. We thank you for the love and care we are able to give and receive as we grow together in trust and love. Lord, we bring all our families and friends to you, that they may know your help and find all that they need in your love. Amen. Amen. Now we'll say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our last hymn is 363. 363, My Jesus, My Saviour. Lord Jesus, Just bless everyone here today and help them through the week to trust in you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We say the grace to each other. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.